Live from the In the Room studios located in the NetCarrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Today, I declare myself officially a rodeo clown.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal. 12, 11, 10, 9. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
None of these assholes would have the balls to say any of this to anyone live.
I get hard as one of them stones. I'm going to hurl at a homosexual.
He's got 6 ounces of weed, and he's saving his roaches?
Bangable and diabetic.
Parts of car keys.
This is Stevie Wonder.
Free speech zone should just be the air, motherfucker. Catch the crowd.
The show is wildly popular.
My, the crab diving studios in Koreatown, Los Angeles, USA. It's Crab Nation with your hosts, Patrick Vile, Ryan Pfeiffer.
Drama in the LBC. It's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G, but I somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky ass hits like every single day. May I kick a little something for the G and make a few ends as I breeze through. 2 in the morning and the party's still jumping cause my mama ain't home. I got some freaks in the living room getting it on and they ain't leaving till 6 in the morning. So what you gonna do? I got a pocket full of rubbers and my homeboys do too. So turn off the lights and close the doors. But what?
We don't love them though.
Yeah. So we gon' blow a ounce to this. G's up, freeze up for a second, now bounce to this. Laid back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Rolling down the street, smoking in love, sipping on gin and pills.
Laid back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Now that I got me some secret gin. Everybody got their cups, but they ain't chipped in.
It's Crab Nation Thursday, coming at you on the VOC Nation Worldwide on the VOCNation.com. Thanks for listening to us. We are going to be here for the next couple hours till 2 p.m. Pacific time, till 5 p.m. if you're listening to us out on the Eastern Coast. The LBC is out here, so it's 12 to 2. My name is Patrick Vile.
Hi, I'm Ryan Pfeiffer. Hello from hashtag Florida.
Hashtag Florida, still. The Crab Nation staff or hosts are straddling the nation, one on the eastern type seaboard, sort of, and one on the western coast. Ryan calling in from Pensacola, Florida. How's it there
great
today?
Oh, it's great. Did you say your name, by the way? Did you say you were Patrick Vile?
I think I did.
Okay. I just want to make
and
sure
I...
everybody knows.
That's right. My fans are clamoring.
Right. We're all Jesus. To be honest, I'm kind of it on Crab Nation Florida. I am the whole staff.
You're breaking up.
Show.
Breaking up just a little bit. I wonder if the
what happened? It's
if the Skype monster is looking upon us poorly today. But you're kind of cutting in and out. But you're back
you
now.
Know, when I called. When I called in earlier today, it sounded like it's call and hang up and redial, so maybe there's some bullshit going on.
Yeah, it sounds like you're getting redacted, like you're saying stuff and the
okay,
the
I don't know what that means, so should I hang up and call back?
Yeah. It sounds like you're losing words.
Okay.
Ryan's going to give us a call back here. Thanks for joining us. For those who are listening out there, give us a call if you like. If you want to call in and see if you can get this thing to work, 855-862-7234, 855-VOC-RADIO. It's a toll-free number brought to us courtesy of NetCarrier. You can take your business to the N-Cloud, save shit tons of money. Go to netcarrier.com for more details. Reconnecting via the magic of the internet, Ryan Pfeiffer. It doesn't sound like you're hooked up to your microphone now. Oh, you know what? Yo, yo, yo. Are you
hey,
there?
Is this better?
Yeah, yeah, how's it going? Yeah.
Oh, God. I hate technical shit more than anything. I had a phone conversation with you earlier today where you explained to me that my computer has been infected with super AIDS.
Yeah, it's pretty heinous. A pretty heinous virus has taken over your computer.
Oh, God. I mean, what's it called? Ransomware?
Apparently something got in there that hijacked your system and encrypted most of your files, and then they send you a little note via a text file that they leave there that says, hey, if you want to unlock your data, go to this website and pay us $500 or $1,000 or some shit like that. And it's a big scam. You'll never get your shit. The odds are you won't get your shit unlocked and stuff. It's pretty.
Yeah.
It's a pretty heinous kind of thing. And I don't know. When
it sucks. And you know, actually, your connection to me right now is totally shitty. I feel like nothing good technologically is happening to me today or to this show. Do I sound okay right now?
Yeah, you're cutting in and out a little bit occasionally, but right now you sound fine. Is it raining there? What's the weather? There's no rain here. There's no squirrels.
It's overcast. Is our internet okay?
Yeah, everything's working. Everything seems to be working.
Well, good. That's nice.
Yeah, you're just sounding choppy on occasion.
God. You know what? I'm going to try to call in from my phone. How's that? Maybe that's better.
That might work. We could try that.
Okay. Well, I'll be back in a second. Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Talk amongst yourselves.
We're talking amongst ourselves here on Crab Nation Live as we juggle some technological problems. So the internet connection maybe not being as friendly from Pensacola, Florida, because, you know, it is on the other side of the universe. This whole thing, it makes me think about that. There's a city either in I'm not going to know for sure. One of the out east, southeast, like Carolina, maybe Kentucky, something like that. But an entire town, it might be Chattanooga, Tennessee, for some reason now it's popping into my head, where an entire town has invested in a public utility where they have this incredibly fast internet connections now. That's like 10 times faster than the shit we get from our corporate overlords at Comcast or Time Warner or whatever. Ryan Pfeiffer calling in via mobile.
Hello. This probably sounds like total shit.
It sounds like you're on the phone, but you're not cutting out. So before you were sounding like you were on a train or something.
No, wonderful. Yeah, the weather's kind of crappy here right now. I don't know what's going on with it, but I'm sure if you asked anybody to live down here in Gulf Breeze, they'd be able to tell you exactly that there's some kind of warm front pushing in, followed by, I don't know, some sort of meteorological fucking event. Anyway, God.
You sent me a picture of the of that that house that was on, it's supposed to be hurricane proof. It looks like a, looks like some sort of space capsule or something, UFO.
Oh yeah, it's a dome house. It's located not even a block from the beach, and it had to have been. And by the way, it is the 10-year anniversary of Hurricane Ivan for Florida this week. I don't know, oddly enough, this whole area is kind of celebrating it.
I was going to say, but, do you commemorate that at all? Do you do you wish each other a happy Ivan Day or something?
Happy Ivan. Yeah, I don't know, because most of the houses here, you know, you can still see the water line from Ivan. They were all underwater, so I don't know how they commemorate it. I don't know. I mean, basically, if you lived on the beach, everything in your house on the first floor was sucked into the drink and then vomited back out onto the beach.
Ugh.
It was insane. I remember I came down a month or so after Ivan to visit my folks, and you could walk along the shore and just see refrigerators, couches, washing machines. I mean, stuffed animals, toys, I mean, everything that used to be in people's houses. Crazy.
And the water's so clean.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Pensacola Beach, the appearance of the water is very clear, and it's blue. I mean, you can see into it, unlike a lot of beaches. I mean, it's white sand. And I don't mean to bring race into it, but
right.
the beaches are beautiful. But yeah, I don't know, the oil and everything settling down in the bottom of the ocean, getting into the the larva of the crabs or the fucking crab eggs or something. I'm not a biologist.
Oh, you and Bobby Jindal. There's a story today I saw that he Bobby Jindal, who I didn't realize majored in biology in college, allegedly, is not so sure about that evolution thing.
Oh, really? He doesn't know. Oh, does he agree with ISIS?
Right. Yeah, go to facebook.com/crabdiving. There's a story up there about how now that ISIS is taking over certain towns and stuff like that, that they're actually, you know, having to put together like government and shit. And one of the things they're doing is they're running the schools, and part of their curriculum is they get rid of science, they get rid of math, and they absolutely don't teach the Darwin's theory of evolution. Where does that sound familiar?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, I feel like if you just give some of these right-wing nut jobs in America AK-47s, they might look a lot like ISIS.
A lot of them have AK-47s.
That's true. That's good. That's right. They're just like ISIS. How terrifying.
There's a lot of the open carriers going on. There's a picture I saw today of another guy who was, I don't even remember which state it was, but it was yesterday or day before. He was just walking up and down like the sidewalk or the street in front of a high school with his gun strapped to his back. Just because, you know, America.
Oh, God. Because it's so unsafe here, by the way. Well, I mean, this country, you can walk down the street here and no one's going to attack you or shoot you. Did you see that video? You saw that little YouTube video I sent you of some rebels living somewhere in Africa with their big, scary machine guns?
You know that's a promo for the Planet of the Apes, right?
Is that not real? Oh, God damn it. I thought that really happened. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I don't think so. I read the comments and everything, and it's, you know, coming, it's a couple of years old, and it's like, you know, coming in June, but Planet of the Apes, or whatever the hell that Planet of the Apes movie was. But it's still an amazing, little video of these, like you said, these rebel soldiers goofing around with a chimpanzee. And the chimpanzee grabs one of their AK-47s and starts shooting up the camp.
I really thought that was real. Oh, God. I'm such a sucker.
It's great, though.
Yeah, it is.
Is that going to be up on Facebook?
Yeah, I'll put it up there. Well, yeah, now that I know it's a promo, I'll put it up there. I didn't want to put it up there earlier because, listen, I know the monkey had, you know, was doing the shooting, but I kind of felt like that wasn't fair and wasn't nice of those people to give the chimpanzee a machine gun. So I didn't want to put that on Crab Diving's Facebook page. But now that I know it's fake and it's the movies, the commie, pinko, hippie, liberal in me feels okay about posting that.
You didn't want to advocate for handing weaponry to untrained primates.
No, I didn't. I thought that was bad. You see, I could see someone, some wackadoo here somewhere in America, then like, I bought a chimpanzee off some lunatic on the internet, and I'm going to give him my fucking Colt 45 to squeeze off a few rounds in the backyard because it's fun. You know, I didn't want to advocate for that.
That's a good idea.
No, yes. Oh, my God.
That's very kind of you. You were in Mobile, Alabama last night.
Yeah. What do you have to say that with a chuckle in your voice? It's Mobile, Alabama.
I don't know. I thought of something funny in the middle of saying Alabama.
Oh, really, really? Well, it's kind of – I mean, listen, there's something funny about a downtown metropolis in the middle of the Redneck Riviera, I believe there is. Right. It was nice. I drove out there, and I only got hit by one deer and raped by one redneck. So it was a success.
Nice. You're white, so no cops beat the shit out of you.
That's true.
Or anything like that.
No. But, you know, I was driving back late at night. And every once in a while, you can see deer on the side of the highway. And it was like, oh, my God, please do not dart across the road and let me hit you. Ugh. Plus, you know, the speed limit is 70 miles an hour out to Mobile, which I think is a little excessive in my book.
So Grandpa was doing, what, 55?
No. I was doing 70. I was doing 65, 70 miles an hour. Very conservative.
White-knuckling it.
Looking for deer. Listen, my parents, one time, they were in South Georgia. They got hit by a deer, and the thing bounced in through the windshield of their car and then out. And, you know, I can't imagine that scene. How horrible.
I was almost killed a couple of times hitting deer in Wisconsin. A house that we rented lived on a notorious place where the deer, I mean, I don't know, maybe it was like Suicide Alley for the deer. They would fling themselves at the fucking cars. But for some reason, this stretch of highway was really known for hitting deer. And there were a couple times coming home late at night that I might have been exceeding the speed limit for conditions. And all of a sudden, those idiots starts prancing into the middle of the road. And then they stop and look at you because, you know, then you've spotted them with the stupid headlights.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But, hey, well, it's a good thing you got to where you were going in a timely manner.
Hey, I got home.
Oh, boy. You got home like 10 minutes earlier than I would have, driving a nice conservative speed, but that's important.
A buddy of mine was in a van, a big, like, van, you know, not a minivan, a real van, and hit, like, three or four of them at the same time. Like, they were all sticking together and totaled the fucking van. He was not hurt, fortunately.
But,
and I think a couple of the deer did not survive.
No, my God. What did you take? Did he take them home and eat them?
No, he called the DNR. You got to let them know that there's a deer on the side of the road, and then the dead deer patrol comes and picks them up, which there might be people that, I know in some states they just have people who go out and just pick them up.
Well, I can confirm that at Vile Experience. My brother, a caller to the show, Jeffrey Pfeiffer up in Alaska, at one time was on the roadkill list.
The caller list.
Yeah, he's not roadkill. No. If a moose got hit on the highway, for some reason it was just with moose, they call you, and no matter what you're doing to get on this list, you have to agree that you'll just drop everything. You'll run out there, field stat. Dress the thing, huh?
I said stat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you field dress it and then take it away. That's the rules. But, like, I mean, I've never shot a deer and then cut it up into little pieces, and I don't know what you do with it, you know what I mean? I'm a hippie lib. I don't know how the meat gets on my plate. But can you imagine a moose, though? Dude, it can't be that easy. What do? Bring a chainsaw and just quarter it up?
Well, I didn't know that they were that edible.
Moose?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's people up there in Alaska that they freeze up one moose. You can freeze the meat and feed a family for a winter, I think.
Wow. There you go.
I mean, sounds like rough living to me, but I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds a little rough. Tweet us if you like during the show. We monitor our Twitter, @crabdiving. Also, join the conversation if you like on our Facebook, which is facebook.com/crabdiving. We're going to be talking a little bit of football, right, in a little bit, next segment?
Yeah, Tommy Gimler of the Daily Upper Decker.
Awesome.
That's a great name. He's calling in, and I can't even, you know, I feel like an asshole. I just don't follow college football at all, but how do you say this guy's name? Jameis Winston? Jameis? You know what I'm talking about? The guy.
Oh,
the
Jameis? Is it Jameis?
Yeah, yeah. Jameis. I don't know. The guy who got caught, I don't know, at his school standing on top of a cafeteria table.
Right. That story, is on the Daily Upper Decker.
It's all over that story. I mean, this guy
is it really?
Oh yeah, it's on Deadspin at least. And the funny thing is, the story, all it is a bunch of kids.
Jameis?
Go ahead. What?
No. It's Jameis Winston.
Oh, Jameis. Jameis. That's a crazy name.
For Jameis Winston. It depends. I don't know. Yeah, jumped up on a table at the Florida State campus.
he yelled "fucker" right in the pussy.
Well, yeah, "fucker" right in the pussy. There's that internet meme, I guess, that's going on where
right.
Apparently people are saying that. Do you remember that? That one guy with the World Cup, they were interviewing somebody on the World Cup live, some fan.
Yeah.
The one guy, a couple of young guys, and the one guy's like, well, you know, I think, I hope the team wins. And the other, he says, and what about you? And the guy goes, fuck it right in the pussy.
I don't necessarily know why people are doing that, but I got to tell you, in light of the other football news that's out there, I find it funny. I find that kind of funny. And on some level, like, charming, because he wasn't beating a child with a branch.
I guess they're saying he's suspended for half a game.
Right. Oh, well. Is that a big deal?
For jumping up and yelling. I guess they find that conduct unbecoming. It was funny. We shouldn't start talking about football too much, but on last night's Daily Show, Jon Stewart did a segment about football and everything, and he was talking about, you know, speaking of good names, and then they showed the NFL, and everybody just started laughing. It's like, when did the NFL have a good name?
Right. Well, I just think we have social media now, and I think just these stories are just
You got to Hannibal Lecter mask some of these guys, and for the ones that get in trouble for the tweeting and shit. And then, like you said, there's no way that publicists these days for either the teams or the players can cover anything up or keep anything quiet anymore.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think you're right. I think instead of handling the spin, you know, the way – these publicists are used to doing it. I think you have to go back to like old school ways of like just keeping people locked up in a little chamber until they're allowed to come out and play football where you can't hear or see them. and just slip them food through a tube.
We had, when I was in school in college in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, they one season the Jaguars had their camp there. And you can just imagine what happened. But it was, things went nuts there because it was just story after story of these guys sneaking out. It was like summer camp where they had these rules. You know, they had curfew. You couldn't go out drinking and all that shit. But these guys would sneak out, or they'd sneak women into the dorms that they were staying in.
Well, I mean, you know. I don't know. These guys, what do you want them to do when I think about it? I mean, you know, they train all the time. They're in the best shape ever. You know, they probably got hormones dribbling out of their nostrils, and you drop them in the middle of some college campus. I mean, my God. I don't know. I don't know how these guys are supposed to behave. I don't really – I guess maybe I'm not familiar with was he a running back? I don't even know what position he plays this dude on the Seminoles. I just don't see the big deal. All I know is that dude on that running back for the Cardinals. Did you see that he was arrested for domestic abuse today?
Oh, yeah. We should save it for when
Tommy calls.
Save the NFL talk for when Tommy calls. I got a list of all the guys that are
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh man, I sense a game. I really do. I think we should play something like, you know,
the all felon
like team. Yeah. I don't know. There's got to be like a fun little game there in there somewhere. Oh my God.
Well, they're purging them from these from games, and they're purging them from, you know, like the sponsors are getting rid of them left and right. It's fascinating. It's there's a lot going on all of a sudden.
Dude, a company from owned by BP Oil dropped Adrian Peterson. I mean,
Anheuser-Busch sent a company that gets people drunk is claiming moral high ground over the NFL. Yeah.
They're so upset. There's just people dropping dead of cirrhosis. And DUIs out there. They're like, hey, listen, this guy hit somebody. We don't want to be associated with him. What do you sell? Oh, alcohol.
Yeah, right. Ooh. Yes. Let's see what's going on. You know what? Maybe we should take a break soon. That when we come, we can come back. And when Tommy calls, then we can just have the whole segment and everything. We don't have to break it up with a... We don't have to break it
perfect.
Up with a stupid song or anything like that. Or a break. So let's take our first break here. Crab Nation Live. It's Thursday, everybody. We're going to be back talking more sports, talking more right-wing nut jobbery. I got clips later. We got some Pat Robertson. Let's see. I got one more clip.
Listen. You can't just say Pat Robertson. What's he talking about today? Is it ISIS?
No, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about Pat Robertson a little bit later on. We'll hear his mellifluous tones, and then also I've got a clip of Sean fucking Hannity, who is just a supreme puddle of dried rat diarrhea. He's just an asshole.
Good one, by the way. Dry. It's dried rat diarrhea.
It's been out in the sun.
Yes.
Yes.
At vile experience.
That's right. I'll write greeting cards for you. We're going to be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away. More Crab Nation on the other side. Back after the break.
Itching to talk to the crabs? Call 855-862-7234.
This is D'Lo Brown, and right here, right now, you better recognize that I am down with the VOC Nation. Recognize that.
Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room, thebradyhicks.com, and for the first time ever, VOCNation.com. So happy to be part of the family. Join us each and every Tuesday night, 9, 8 Central, VOCNation.com, TheBradyHicks.com, myself, DJ, Derek McDonald, Ray Bogus, Anthony Sarlo, Kathy Fitz, breaking down all that's going on in wrestling today, and so much more.
Okay, Philadelphia parents, listen up. Do you have a child in the house that's just about to learn how to drive? Well, you got to do this. You got to head over to DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com. Best of Bucks County 2013. Keep that insurance down. Keep them accident free. 215-639-1990. They're endorsed by the Pennsylvania Police Officers Association, DuncanSchoolOfDriving.com.
Business owners, prepare to take charge. Get the latest trends in business and technology every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, presented by NetCarrier. Tweet your business questions in advance at NetCarrier using the hashtag TakeChargeTuesday or call live toll-free at 1-855-VOC-RADIO.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed as if a demolition team set off. When you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, it pulled it down on itself and it is not.
We are live with Carmine Confidential.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind.
Listen to Carmine Confidential. Weekdays at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, telling you fans worldwide to visit VOCNation.com. VOC Nation gives you top-notch interviews, insightful blogs, and of course, the VOC Wrestling Nation radio program. The VOC Wrestling Nation radio program is live every Wednesday with the hottest guests, the latest news, and lots of fun from the greatest team in wrestling media headed by the voice of choice. Hey, take it from me, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. VOCNation.com is the place to go, baby.
Hola, hola, hola. I am Shelly Funtime Martinez.
And I am Dazzling Danielle.
And together we are
the Martinez Girls.
Tune in on VOC Nation at 7 p.m. Eastern every Saturday. And until then, Danielle, I and you are Audi 5000. Adios, toodles.
The godless voice of Crab Nation.
None of these assholes would have the balls to say any of this to anyone live.
I get hard as one of them stones. I'm going to hurl at a homosexual.
He's got 6 ounces of weed, and he's saving his roaches?
Bangable and diabetic.
Park the car keys
to Stevie Wonder.
Free speech zone should just be the air, motherfucker.
Catch the crowds on Crab Nation Live weekdays.
Noon to 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation.
Entertainment with an attitude.
Fear is just one enemy.
This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Slowly rolling my panties down for Crab Nation. Your hosts, Patrick Vile and Ryan Pfeiffer.
We're back, Crab Nation Live, blasting at you from Los Angeles, California, and Pensacola, Florida. At the same time, we'll try not to hit you in the eye. we talked a little bit before the break. We just couldn't help ourselves. We started talking about everything that's going on in the NFL because there's so fucking much to talk about. And like an onion, like a bruised and bloodied onion, more layers keep getting pulled back on a new bud forms every day or something like that. But we're excited on the line, calling from a different part of our hashtag America here, from Boston, from the Daily Upper Decker, my favorite name for a sports blog, Mr. Tommy Gemmler. How's it going, Tommy?
Hey, nothing but sports and crap. What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, man. Hey, Tommy, I have a question for you. How did you come up with the name of your blog?
Well, we were just sitting around a bar one time, my buddies and I, and we always just kept talking about sports, but just, like, kept taking it to the next level, right? And I was like, hey, that's your blog. And my buddy just said something like, nah, man, we start a blog like that, it would just be nothing but shit. I'm like, there we go. Just the name of the title has to involve taking a shit. And then the upper deck of a stadium and the daily upper decker, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
I don't know if everybody listening knows what an upper decker is. What is that? Just so everybody's on the same page.
The urban well, I mean, of course, just like everybody else, I've never done this myself, but from what I hear, it's when you, instead of sitting down and squatting over the toilet bowl itself, you go to the top shelf, basically lift open the cover and leave one for your neighbor in there.
Oh my God, that's the worst thing ever. I wonder how many plumbers have had to deal with that.
Oh, you got to figure it's on a daily basis, man. I guarantee. Yeah. I mean, I'm not like, you know, the same plumber having to deal with it on a daily basis, but I guarantee, especially you start getting to like a college town, like, you know, go down to New Brunswick. I guarantee it happens at Rutgers more often than most. Seems like something they would do there.
Oh yeah. Is that like junior college shenanigans?
Oh yeah, it is. I mean, frat houses. I guarantee, like, you know, part of the rush process, you have to go over to like the rival frat house, break in, and leave an upper decker. It's got to happen more on college campuses than anywhere else.
Yeah. So you're out in Boston right now. Are you doing stand up?
No, we're. I'm getting ready to go on the road here with Yahoo, and I'm already on the road with Tough Mudder. So I'm actually doubling up. So these companies hire me to like go out and entertain people and like push their products, and each one's a little different. If at Tough Mudder, that's like an 8-hour stand up act. You just kind of rip these guys who all look like they're on steroids and stuff, and they're meatheads, man. The more you push their buttons and the more you like bust their balls, like the happier they are. The more they'll do what you ask them to for whatever reason. So it really is just 8 hours of stand up comedy when you're out there.
Oh man, that sounds cool. I mean, speaking of meatheads, man, the NFL news lately is just amazing. I mean, I personally don't follow football that much, but I do now because there's just so much of it in the news.
Well, you can't help but follow it. Yeah, it's even today was before the break, before you called in, we were talking about, how do you say his name? Is it Jameis Winston?
Jameis, yeah. You know, his mom was probably really just thought it was James. That's how you say it, James. And then everyone
right.
else just like started, you know, sounding it out and like, no man, your name is spelled Jameis, and they're probably just stuck.
The eye is silent.
Yeah, of course. Either that, or I mean, I'm sure they just ask like these kids' mothers like right after they get done giving birth. And I've never given birth, you know, figuratively on a toilet before. But I mean, after I do that, if I'm on a toilet and I feel like I've given birth, the last thing I want to do is like, what's the name of your kid, right? And maybe they're just like so exhausted that she's trying to say James, but you know, like an is comes out and they're like, Jameis, it is. Here we go.
So some people's fucked up names could possibly be the result, you're saying, of a mother under duress. Her vagina just got blown out, for Christ's sake. So
right. I mean,
you know,
that's a high pressure situation.
Right.
I mean, leave her alone for a little while. Just like, you know, number the kid, like, you know, 86 or something like that. We'll come back to 86 in about, you know, 24 hours and speak to her then.
You can TBA.
Yes. Yeah. TBA. But Jameis Winston, man, that's a crazy story. I wrote about it yesterday, or I didn't personally, but one of the writers on my blog, we, you know, wrote about it yesterday, but we both felt the same way in that, you know, jumping up on a table in a student union and yelling, fuck her right in the pussy, don't get me wrong, that sounds like a ton of fun. I mean, if those news clips would have been around when I was in college, I'd have been doing the same thing on a daily basis. But, you know, I don't have a Heisman trophy. I was just literally going to school for 4.5 years to get a mass comm degree. That's all I was doing. You know, people expected that from me. You're under watch when you're a Heisman Trophy winner, or, you know, a guy who's going to go pro in 2 years, not this year, but next year. You know, you have to decide. He's got to come to a decision right now. He's got to decide what's more important, you know, just playing football and winning awards and just waiting it out until you get your massive payday, or jumping up in a student union and being like every other Florida State turd that goes down there and just saying, fuck it right in the pussy on a daily basis. Because, I mean, you could give up football. You could give up football if you really want to say that, man. It's a ton, either way, you're going to have a ton of fun. Let's put it that way.
I read this story, and it's like, I don't know what people think goes on in Florida at these schools, but, I mean, it's hilarious.
It's crazy, like, the response to it, like, for everything that he's done, you know, like, when I was back in Wisconsin, you know, going to school at, like, a little public school in Wisconsin, UW-Stevens Point, I wasn't going down to the local Piggly Wiggly and stealing
oh
crab
God.
Legs. And, you know, and no one knew who I was. I probably could have gotten away with it, right? But, like, when you're James
yeah.
Winston, man, you just can't do that stuff. If I bought a chick, you know, 75-cent taps of Pabst all night and then brought her back to my place and she said no, you know, I was mad. I probably had some choice words for her, called her fat just to make her feel bad. And,
Take her out to the Point Brewery tour.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, yeah, spend some cash on the chick, and if she doesn't want to do anything, you know, you're disappointed, but you don't call two of your buddies up and have them hold her down while you go to town on her. You know,
right.
you can't do that stuff. In the case of Florida State, that should tell you a lot about, like, you know, he's had so many strikes against him now that, you know, when his punishment is just one half of a football game, it should tell you two things. Like, they don't care. They just, their main goal is to just go to, you know, the college football playoff this year and get, you know, just millions of dollars back to the university. That's their number one thing. And number two, they must know that Sean McGuire is a shitty quarterback, because if he was any good, then they could get away with benching Jameis for an entire, at least one or two games. But if your backup quarterback is that bad, then it's like, man, we can only bench him for a half. Otherwise, we're going to lose this game.
I'm just looking at your Twitter, which is at Daily Upper Deck, with
yeah,
your
logo.
Yeah,
too long there. Daily Upper Decker, unfortunately. You know, I needed two more.
Two more letters. But they the follow that, because they, yeah, I like your avatar too. That's great. The logo is a silhouette of a guy. It looks like he's doing a leapfrog over it, but I would assume he's actually taking a shit in the top tank of the toilet.
Correct. Yeah, it's actually like an Air Jordan, like a Jordan type silhouette, but he's taking a Daily Upper Decker though, for sure.
So the NFL now, if this guy were in the NFL and he yelled "fuck it right in the pussy" somewhere, I don't know what would happen to him now. Maybe he'll get one penalty, and then they'll change their mind a few days later and up it. That seems to be what's going on.
No,
these
days. He'd probably win some kind of award. Probably win Player of the Week.
Yeah, right.
Something. You know, if it was a backup quarterback, he'd be promoted into like starting duty. You know. But I'll tell you, the NFL, man, I bet you somewhere deep down, I mean, they really didn't start making their decisions until it was like, okay, hey, we're going to lose some money over this because sponsors are pulling out. But otherwise, the NFL, I mean, you turn on CNN, you turn on Fox News, MSNBC, anything, and they're talking about players in the NFL. If these mm-hmm. guys weren't out beating their wives or hammering their kids with part of the tree, you know, if they weren't doing that, then CNN would be talking about, you know, some way that Barack Obama's, you know, in the country or something like that. But instead, Roger Goodell and the owners have the NFL on every single TV. So I think in some deep, twisted way, they're probably smoking cigars and drinking their Glenlivets and just sitting there like, we did it. We did it. This guy's a genius.
Right. And what is it today? It's Jonathan Dwyer, or yesterday, Jonathan Dwyer from the Cardinals?
Oh, yeah. Well, the crazy thing about him is that happened back in July, and then the investigation finally, I think he finally got arrested yesterday or the day before. But that, I think the incident actually happened in July. But the crazy part about all three of these running backs, you know, forget about Greg Hardy, who cares? The yeah. three things about, like, the running back are these fantasy dorks, right? You know, that we all sit there ahead of our computer, and you know someone took Adrian Peterson in the first round. And then somewhere, like, in the fourth or fifth round, they're like, you know, I can wait on a running back. I can get Ray Rice in the fourth or fifth round because no one's going to want him because he's only suspended for the first two games. And you know what the hell? In the 11th round, I'll take a flyer on Jonathan Dwyer. So somewhere in America, there's some poor fat fantasy dork sitting at a local dive bar who's like, my fantasy season is over because all three of my running backs either hit their wife or hit their kid.
Well, what about Reggie Bush? What about what he said about how he doesn't like to leave bruises on his one-year-old daughter? I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, because, I mean, that one-year-old kid is just such a bitch, you know, just, you know, shitting her pants on purpose. You know,
right.
Just what a bitch. Just grabbing things around the house and putting them in her mouth. You know, I understand why you don't want that to happen 17 years later, but, you know, just so crazy. Why are you hitting your one-year-old kid at all? They don't know any better.
And the four-year-old, what did he do? He pushed his brother or sister off a fucking video game? That's what warranted the blood and the bruises.
Well, you know, before we rush to judgment on that, we have to find out what video game it was.
True. If it was Grand Theft Auto, I get it.
I'm trying to set a record here.
Yeah, right.
But you know, that's another crazy thing. I mean, like, have you seen? I mean, I try to spend as little time as possible in the Southeast. Although, like, you know, if you get a college education anywhere in the country, you can probably go down to the Southeast and make six figures. You know how to speak English. You got a college degree. You can read. Perfect. You're president of this company. But like up here, like I had honestly never heard of switching before. I grew up in Wisconsin. Like my parents would just hit me with like a wooden spoon. They give me like a spanking or something like that, or you know they would never hit me in the face or anything like that. But you knew when that wooden spoon came out, you better run like the wind, boy. You better run. But I've never even like heard of switching. But apparently, like in the Southeast, it's what they do. And I don't, you know, I think the rest of us who've never heard of that or never been through that don't get it. So we're kind of like, oh, my God, that's abuse. But you don't really hear anyone that's from the Southeast jumping up and saying, oh, yeah, this is terrible what he did right there. They're all kind of sitting there looking like, I do that to my kid, but I'm not going to say anything about it because I don't want to go to jail.
Yeah, that's what a lot of social media is saying the same thing. You know, a lot of the memes are like, well, they're Adrian Peterson hit his kid with a switch. Like, so?
Yeah. But if you look at the pictures, I mean, that's pretty brutal. I mean,
right.
No, it is. But that's the way it is. But once you see something, and it was the same thing with the Ray Rice video. Like, everyone knew that he hit her. He said that it was provoked, and, you know, maybe there's video that shows. I'm not sticking up for him. I mean, that was a brutal punch. But I think it's just that the natural human instinct is once you actually see something with your eyes, like you could say something like, oh, man, you know what? I'd love to be visited by an alien. It's great. Then all of a sudden you see one for the first time in your life, and you're like, oh, shit. You know, and it's a completely different story. So once you see something with your eyes, it just makes it that much – you know, if you were taking the argument that like, oh, you know, switching's accepted in the Southeast, it's just one thing that they do. It's okay that he did that. And once you saw the pictures, you're probably like, that's child abuse.
Yeah, you know, I went to school in the South. I grew up in the Southeast, and when I was living in Virginia, I was in fourth grade. And our first day of school, we got sent home with a note. It was a permission slip giving the principal the right to hit you with a paddle if you misbehaved. I mean, when you see this, and the paddle that they're referring to, it's something cut out of a 2x4. I mean, it's huge with holes drilled into it. And these kids, they talk during class or whatever, and the teacher would drag them out in the hallway and beat them with these paddles, and you'd sit in class, and you could hear these kids hollering. So, yeah, the Southeast, I don't know. I get how they're a little desensitized.
Well, yeah, because I think it's like, what is it, 21 or 23 states, something like that, where corporal punishment is still legal.
Oh, my God.
It's like a Dickens novel.
Oh, man, that must have been great. Imagine, like, a kid getting busted for Jell-O and you hear him just getting his ass paddled by that thing. Man, come on. Stay tight-lipped. Don't let them know that I took more than you, buddy. Take this one for me. Let's go.
Well, at first, the kids would laugh a little bit, and then it would go on, and it would go on, and then everybody would just shut up and sit there and be like, oh, my God, it's going to happen to me next. Yeah, it was kind of screwy.
Oh, man. And then we all become adults, and life's no fun anymore. Well, that's not very funny, though. You're kidding.
Well, then we drink and do drugs and internet radio shows and stuff.
Sure.
One thing I learned about the NFL that I didn't know until recently is nonprofit.
Oh, the NFL? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I guess if you don't if you make under $10 billion, you're still a nonprofit.
I mean, that really. That blows my mind. I can't wrap my brain around that. How the fuck does the NFL get – is MLB no nonprofit too then?
I think they all are because it's the – God, what's – I feel stupid today. I can't even think of the word. It's the whole thing with, like, the unions. So it's like whenever there's, like, a strike, when the unions disband, so that's always the biggest threat. Like, they're gonna disband, and when there's no longer a union, then they lose their nonprofit status. I think somewhere along those lines, they lose like an exemption. So that's why I think like you see a lot of these players. Like I'm just trying to wrap my fingers around like why is everyone protecting Ray Rice? Why do these guys like you know rob a McDonald's and then they're back on the field? You know, two games later, like if I go out right now and rob a McDonald's, like I'll never be able to find work again. But these guys, it's kind of like, yeah. They'll just suspend them for a couple of games. So you got to think about, like, why does the NFL even, like, care about these guys? Like, if you hear about someone hitting their wife, just, you know, they're gone. No one will ever hire them again. It's all right. But they seem to, like, coddle these guys and give them so many second and third and fourth chances that there's got to be some kind of, like, pressure from the players where it's like, if you become too harsh with us, we'll disband. We'll disband the union. Then you lose that nonprofit status.
I mean,
think about it. Is there a good reason why, like, the NFL coddles these players so much?
Well, they don't always coddle them. I mean, they let Aaron Hernandez go.
Eventually.
One case. Yeah, but, you know, at that point, it was kind of like, you know, there were rumors that he was involved in a shooting while he was at Florida, that he was actually the trigger man in the shooting that took place while he was at Florida, yet he's still drafted. The Patriots are still throwing $40 million contracts at him. And until the day he is cuffed and taken in for murder, that's finally okay. Maybe he should be on our team.
So what's your feeling on Roger Goodell? Stay, go?
I think he's personally a turd. Yeah, that's just my belief. I think he's just a turd human being. But he's not going to go anywhere as long as the NFL and the owners are making money. It's the bottom line. If they would start seeing, like, a decrease in revenue, like, pretty much, I think, anywhere, then the owners would probably get together and let him go. But, you know, they're probably making record earnings this year again. So why would you let go of that guy if he's doing the right thing? You know, there's labor peace right now. And you're just filling your pockets with mad cash, so why would you mess with that?
Let him take the hits, publicity-wise.
Right, yeah, I mean, like, send him out there like a wounded dog at a, you know. Yeah. It's like throwing a wounded dog overboard in, like, a pool of sharks. But, you know, just let him go. Let him take his lumps, and who cares if he looks like an idiot? As long as people keep buying $12 beers at the stadium and buying Victor Cruz jerseys for their gay kid, whatever.
Is it, you know, baseball just got a new a commissioner. Is it as hard to replace a commissioner in the NFL as it was for baseball? Because, you know, Bud Selig, it was hard to find somebody that the owners agreed that could take his place. Does the NFL have the same problem?
I wouldn't think so. I think that the owners always try to get a guy who's their boy, who's their whipping boy, right? Like you don't want a commissioner who is super player friendly, because then eventually you're going to start siding with the players, and and the player's going to get a couple more $1 million, and the owners like lose $10 or $12 and they can't have that. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I think in any sport, as long as you have a commissioner that even if just ever so slightly favors the owners, they'll be fine with that.
It's all about the money.
I was listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast with Buster Olney, and he was saying that he thinks Major League Baseball is going to come out with a new domestic violence abuse policy in the next couple days.
Well, we should bet on who the first player to beat his wife will be. Start throwing out accusations here. Like, that's always the best. Like when you saw Ray McDonald, like, you know, granted he hasn't been, you know, charged with anything yet. I wasn't in the room when he allegedly hit his wife or girlfriend, whatever. But, you know, it's always that's the craziest thing about Ray McDonald. Like I said, Jonathan Dwyer, that happened way back in July. It doesn't make it any better, but it's not like he did something stupid like, hey, abuse is in the news, I'm going to get in a fight with my wife and hit her so I can be,
right.
So I could be in the news. You know, the Ray McDonald thing, I mean, that was literally like 48 to 72 hours immediately after they said, hey, we messed up with the Ray Rice thing. It should have been 6 games. And he goes out and he hits a chick. And it's just like the level of stupidity that it takes for that to happen is through the roof, man.
Maybe they were fighting over the Ray Rice incident and she said something bad.
That would be the best story ever.
Right.
What would you do? What would you do? Would you hit me? Would you hit me like this?
Yeah.
That's the incident.
Tommy, what part of Wisconsin?
I grew up 25 minutes outside of Milwaukee, a little town called Maquanago.
Maquanago.
Great place
I lived in Baraboo.
Just want to, oh, Baraboo. All right. Any members of the circus?
There
the Ringling Brothers.
Well. Kind of. And, yeah, I went to Point, too.
Get out of here.
There you go. Small world.
Small world. Yeah, Jesus. Better if they ever plowed the same trip. How old are you? When did you go there?
Oh, I graduated in 96. I was only there. I was there 2 years. I did 2 years in Madison and two at Stevens Point.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You don't need to go to Stevens Point, man. Much more than 2 years. One of those schools
right.
Where you go in, like, you just prove a couple of things. Like, hey, can you talk on the radio? Yeah, give him his degree. Get him out of here. It's good.
If you can survive a
wow,
winner.
Yeah, so I actually started in 1996. So
there you go.
If you were spreading syphilis around before I got there, then that's...
We could be connected in some way, virally.
Just some chick down at Brews or at Buffy's or the Final Store.
Oh yeah, nice. There we go. You were getting a little incestuous on the Stevens Point thing, but I heard you talk about Point.
Well, then I think everyone knows that we both smoke pot. Very good.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. What else is there to do in north central Wisconsin in July?
Oh my God. It's pretty much it. Fish and smoke some weed and drink some beers.
A bunch of cheese heads.
A bunch of cheese heads.
Yeah,
you're probably a Packer fan, I'm assuming, right?
Oh, of course. But unlike, you know, okay. And again, it always,
thanks
of
for...
course, comes back to domestic violence. So you want to talk about domestic violence. So a study came out like 10, 15 years ago that showed that when the Packers lose, domestic violence in Wisconsin went up like 200%. So it's like, you know, someone's making their like Kraft macaroni and cheese and hot dogs dinner. Like, it better been spot on when the Packers lost or else they were in trouble.
That's horrible. Everybody's drinking Wisconsin premium and getting pissed off that the team lost.
Oh, my God.
200%. That's just crazy. It's just kind of like if they're winning, like stick around. If they're losing, get inside your Ford Focus and get the hell out of there.
Oh God, I'm a Chicago Cubs fan. I hope there's not similar numbers down there in Chicago.
Well, I think they become so accustomed to losing now that like it's probably way down. But I bet you like after the 2003 NLCS or like you know what was it the 84-85 NLCS when Durham let it go through his legs.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet you it was at an all-time high at that point. But now they've just become so such accepted losers that I'm sure it's down. They probably, like, hit their wives when the Cubs win. They probably lose money.
Oh, yeah.
How many teeth got knocked out with because of Steve Bartman?
Because of Moise and Lou. God damn it. That was the worst.
I mean, there were grown men, like, crying in public, like, just sitting there in the bleachers crying in public when they lost. Like, I think that comes somewhere like, lower down the line. Like, you know, something you would do first before you cry in public over a baseball game as a grown man. Like, so you would hit your kid or hit your dog or something like that way before you'd cry in public.
How bad it was. I was on Waveland Avenue behind Wrigley Field after that game, and it really looked like a bomb had just gone off, and people were just crying in the streets. I mean, it was just an horrendous scene. People started hanging off. There was a guy hanging off a light pole, traffic light, crawled up a traffic light, just started screaming for some reason. It was a crazy scene. Not good.
Don't do it, man. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
No words.
That's crazy. Tommy, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. That was awesome.
Yeah, man.
You got it, man. Good time. Hey, well, I'm sure I'll call you. Give me a call again next week, or I'll call you back when two more players decide that their wives are just having, spending too much of their paycheck.
Right. head on over to... I'm looking this shit up on Twitter right now. Follow at it's at. You have to help me with the Twitter handle.
Oh yeah, at Daily Upper Deck, and then you just go to dailyupperdecker.com, and every other day the story that I'm doing today is about Jonathan Dwyer. So the way we break down like arrests in the NFL is we break them down fantasy style. So we your athlete got arrested. That's 1 point. How gangster was the crime? Hitting a woman, -3 points, And then you add it up, and we give you fantasy advice on whether or not you should keep that player on your roster. Like, will he commit another crime soon enough?
Isn't the story with Dwyer that she wouldn't fuck him or something?
Well, I'm sure you're an NFL player. She won't fuck you. Who cares? Move on. Just go down to, Tully's. Go down to Tully's. There's six other chicks who will.
But I thought I read that allegedly he headbutted her because she wouldn't bang him.
Well, then now she's probably really not going to. Like, if you would have just kept your head off her, maybe you could have talked her in, but you knock her out. Now she's really not going to.
You don't know what she's into.
And let you know.
You don't know what she's into. She might,
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, dailyupperdecker.com. Go check it out. I'll have the story up in a couple hours.
Tommy Gimler, dailyupperdecker.com. Stevens Point graduate. Go Pointers.
That's right. And Stevens Point graduate who's actually got a job. So put that in your back pocket.
That's one I know.
That's right. All right, Jen. Thanks again. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Yeah. Have a good day.
See you.
Tommy Gimler. I think it's hanging up eventually at some point. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
The Daily Upper Decker.
Right.
Sports.
It is a good blog. They've got good headlines on there. Yeah,
follow him on the Twitter is at Daily Upper Deck without the er.
God. He's got one title in here from September 15th. The Big Ten is fucking garbage.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. I love the theory of it's not quite Alex Jonesian, but the theory that the owners aren't exactly all that upset about all the shenanigans that are happening because everybody – including our Commie Pinko lib comedy crazy news show that never talks about sports hardly, is talking about the NFL.
Right.
But, I mean, you can't help it. It's all over the news. If I look, I can see what's on MSNBC in the living room right now, and it is – well, wait. It's about arming the Syrian rebels. I assume that's not about the NFL.
The Syrian rebels is a minor league NFL team.
I wish it was.
Yeah, I guess the House voted. You know, the Congress is pussying out with that vote. Because nobody wants to take a vote on authorizing, you know, full-scale war and bombing in Syria and shit with that stupid election coming up. They're all pussies.
Yeah. I mean,
they want to be able to blame Obama.
Right. And if you think about what's going on and the people that are getting hurt by ISIS, I mean, you can talk about the terrorism and the beheading of Americans, which is horrible. But what about the people that are there living in the Middle East and getting oppressed by them? I mean, we should be able to go and help them.
But then do we have to go help everybody? Why aren't we helping the people in Darfur? Why aren't we sending – you know what I mean? It's like, is it just because there's oil there?
Yeah. It's hypocritical. It's definitely a double standard.
Yeah. And we're talking about Wisconsin. I got a couple of Wisconsin stories. There's a guy who was running for Wisconsin Assembly, and he had like the backing of the Republican Party in Wisconsin. 19 years old. From the Janesville area of Wisconsin.
Janesville.
Yeah, Janesville, southern Wisconsin, near the border with Illinois. Illinois, for those who pronounce the S. This guy's been 19 fucking years old. Somehow got the Republican nomination for Assembly. Well, now he's finally dropped out of the race because he got in trouble for a tweet. Here we go with these tweets. From last December. So, you know, people find this shit.
Yeah.
And the tweet
was public
record. Yeah, he was talking about gay marriage, a decision, and his tweet was, quote, 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals rejects Utah's request to stop same-sex marriages. Fags need to leave my favorite state alone.
Oh, my God.
This is December. So this is December. This is September. So, what, 9 months later?
Wow.
He had apologized for the tweet, said, I regret using unacceptable and hurtful language on social media last year. I am a staunch supporter of traditional marriage, but the language I used is not in keeping with my character, family values, and Christian upbringing.
I think it is.
You're right. They found comments that he made on YouTube videos. And he used to be his name is what did I say his name was Jacob Dorsey. He was a former intern. Listen to this group, Citizens for Decency.
Oh man! Now listen, I guarantee you, there's not a lot of decency. There can't
how
be.
Much? Yeah, how much fun are those guys? He was endorsed by Pro-Life Wisconsin. So they found this one of these YouTube comments that he made. It was on something about a Lincoln Town Car, some video of a Lincoln Town Car, and he commented on the video.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be quoting, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
I'm quoting. This is not the word that I would use, but I'm quoting.
Yes.
He said, Jacob Dorsey commented on a video about a Lincoln Town Car, quote, niggers trash cars. I'm not selling my town car to one, end quote.
He's 19. Well, he's a stupid 19-year-old who's horribly racist and homophobic. Why does he need to be?
Yeah, yesterday he told the Janesville Gazette that he decided to withdraw from the race due to insensitive remarks that have surfaced from years past. He's 19. He's 19. He's like,
years.
Oh, so many years ago in my crazy youth.
Right. God, what an asshole.
This race has been extremely hard on my family and myself, he said.
Right. Well, I agree with him. Of course it has. Because you're stupid. It's going to be really difficult. Of course it's a difficult thing for a 19-year-old to run for office. They're 19. They're dumb. What is happening in Janesville where they're like, hey, this is the best guy. This is the best guy we can put up for office.
I don't know. I didn't look that deeply into it. I wonder if Janesville, being closer to Chicago, maybe it's a little bit bluer. Maybe the area is more traditionally Democratic, and he's just, you know, just a nut job that is kind of a fringe candidate where a Republican is never going to win anyway. I don't know. I'm totally talking out of my ass.
I got lost one night in Janesville trying to find a campground. I was supposed to go camping there with some friends, and I remember my car nearly running out of gas. This is a long, long time ago, before smartphones, by the way. My car running out of gas in an amazing lightning storm. I get to some little town around the outskirts of Janesville, if there's such a thing, and there's no gas station open. So I had to go to the hospital and see if they could find the sheriff so the sheriff could unlock the gas station to sell me some gas so I could get the hell out of there. I mean, you know, Janesville is, yeah. I mean, maybe a 19-year-old could run it. Maybe a 19-year-old could run it. The right 19-year-old. You know, you get kid in like AP history or something who's smart. I don't know.
Everybody in Chicago that ever drives to that part of Wisconsin knows Janesville for one reason alone. It's an oasis.
I was going to say, is there a strip bar there?
Well, no, there's that Janesville Oasis, which is the McDonald's or Wendy's or whatever the hell they have, and gas station thing that's over the highway when there's not a lot of exits in that area.
Oh, okay. Oh, I got you. Oh,
like the truckers. If you're a trucker, you can pull over there and sleep. They have big parking lots and shit.
Right. Some idiot little 19-year-old wants to run Janesville. Go ahead. Right. Who cares?
Well, and
God,
listen to
what
else.
What an asshole.
Since we're talking Wisconsin, I got another story from Wisconsin. The they're trying real hard there to violently have carnage with or sexual knowledge with the people who don't want to have it. As far as solar power, these utility companies now, one of these utility, WE Energies,
yes,
is not only almost doubling this like fixed charge that they plan that they add to people, you know, like your minimum charge, but they're also changing the way that they handle the people that have solar panels, and they're not going to be paying them as much as they used to, or they want to pay less. You know how if you end up producing more energy than you use, they buy it back from you, and they want to get rid of that. So they want to penalize people who are using solar power. And a guy who, Mark Newman, who runs Wisconsin-based SunVest, a solar energy company, says it would that if they get away with this, it'll not only end solar, but remove economic viability for renewable energy in Wisconsin.
Wow. God, that's so evil, man. I mean,
the company says, you know, well, we're doing it for fairness. What's happening, it's private, it's fucking privatized. And they're worried about their shareholders. They're not worried about not about passing costs down to people. They're worried about their shareholders making sure they're getting their money.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I mean, you know, 100 years from now, as our faces are melting off because there's no ozone left, we're like, oh, look at all this sun coming out of the sky. It's a shame we didn't take advantage of this.
Really? So,
what a horrible story. God.
Yeah, so you think of, you know, you wouldn't think of Wisconsin would be one of those states. But, you know, Scott Walker, man, I mean, he managed to get in there and decimate public unions. It's just a horrible wave of lunatic conservatism that took over Wisconsin. It's kind of scary.
Oh, Jesus. That is crazy. Especially, too, when you think about Madison. You know, I always think of I think of Wisconsin like Illinois, blue and liberal. But that's because there's Chicago and Madison, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of farms. There's a lot of farms.
Which to me, I don't that to me doesn't make sense at all. Why wouldn't those areas be blue as well? I mean, what are Republicans doing to help the farmer in Wisconsin?
Guns and God.
Oh, right. I always forget about the guns. That's so silly of me.
And it doesn't help that, you know, there's a brownish guy in the White House.
Will you stop reminding people of that? That's the worst thing you do in this show. Please.
Not that I'm such a racist. How dare I suggest that? I forget. That was that one guy posted on our Facebook, facebook.com/crabdiving. One guy was like, anytime, because we mention race so much, we're the big racists. There's no problem with race in America. It's the liberals pretending there's a problem with race. They're the real racists.
It's the people pointing out the racism and saying, gee, we should fix this. You're a racist.
Right. It's like the Christians crying persecution that they can't persecute.
Yeah. What a bunch of assholes. Oh, my God.
We can get ready for our break here. Before we go to break, I got one more environmental story. This is from thinkprogress.org. It's also, I put it on our Facebook. Go to facebook.com/crabdiving. I don't know why we don't have this everywhere. There's a new report out by the Energy Department and the Solar Foundation that if schools were to take advantage of, I don't know, big giant empty roof space, that they could add 5.4 gigawatts to the country's solar capacity, which is a third of everything we have now.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. We should do that.
It could power a million homes, and the carbon emissions reductions would be equivalent to taking 1 million passenger vehicles off of the road.
Man. Well, listen, our kids are growing up stupid anyway. We might as well get something out of our education system. Put solar panels on the school.
Use that real estate for something worthwhile.
Yeah. It's not helping their brains. I love this idea. It's a great idea. Good thinking.
But what was it, Germany? We just did the story about Germany not that long ago, that in parts of Germany, there's almost every rooftop has solar, and some other Scandinavian countries up there are converting to renewable energy, whether it's wind or solar or these tidal technologies they have. Not America. Drill, drill, baby, drill.
My relatives in Germany, they live in this tiny little town out there. They built their own house and built their own solar panels.
And they encourage it.
Right. Powers their whole house. They don't have to pay a bill to BP or, I don't know, some power company.
And here, because our politicians are bought and sold by the oil companies or by big energy, by the coal companies, they vote however their masters tell them, regardless of what is going to help us or what's going to be cheaper for the people. This bullshit shows it in Wisconsin. These assholes trying to punish people who are trying to use renewable energy.
Is there enough? But is there enough sunlight in Wisconsin to fuel any kind of? There's no sunshine there in the winter.
They have enough.
It's hard for me to believe.
I read a story where there was one person who said that he lives in like north central Wisconsin, and he said he gets half. He doesn't have enough of a setup to power his whole house. But a lot of that has to do with the companies too. They're also trying to pass a law there, or like an increase in the rates if you don't own the equipment. So I guess some companies out there are making money by renting out solar equipment, so you can rent your solar panels.
Well, I have some friends that live in L.A. and they put solar panels on their house, but they financed them. You know, so whatever they pay a month to pay off those solar panels, they told me was just about what they pay in their power bill. But they get to sell the power back to the power company.
For now.
Right. Yeah,
until the power company decides they're corporate overlords like they're trying to do in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Evil.
But we do have some good news. We'll save that for after the break. We'll take our break here. A couple of good news things. I also have, after the break, ladies and gentlemen, a couple of clips from Pat Robertson. And I also have something from Hannity that you just got to hear to believe. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So let's take our break here. We'll come back on the other side. Give us a call if you like, 855-862-7234. That's 855-VOC-RADIO. Don't forget you can tweet us during the show at Crab Diving. One word. We're going to be back
on the other side.
We're going to be back on the other side. Don't go away. More crabs after the break.
Itching to talk to the crabs? Call 855-862-7234.
This is King Kong Bundy, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
The godless voice of Crab Nation.
None of these assholes would have the balls to say any of this to anyone live.
I get hard as one of them stones. I'm going to hurl at a homosexual.
He's got 6 ounces of weed, and he's saving his roaches?
Bangable and diabetic.
Pass the car keys to Stevie Wonder.
Free speech zone should just be the air, motherfucker.
Catch the crabs on Crab Nation Live weekdays.
Noon to 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the VOC Nation.
Hey, I'm the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Are you tired of paying high telephone and internet bills for your business? It's time to call NetCarrier, baby! If you're ready to take your phone service into the cloud, NetCarrier is the place to go to get the best in telecommunication service. Call NetCarrier today for a free analysis of your phone bills. 877-255-7733. That's right, 877-255-7733. Call now.
Looking for a DJ? Looking for someone to host your event? Then look no further. Philadelphia's hottest DJ and host, The Voice of Choice. The Voice of Choice has hosted the hottest events in the tri-state area. Book The Voice of Choice for all your karaoke, conventions, and parties. Go to www.vocnation.com for more information or email The Voice of Choice at voc@vocnation.com.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, thanks for coming on down. It's Save Wrestling, the podcast in the business making towns. Hear all about how I make towns and so much more every Monday right before Raw, 6 p.m. Eastern, here on the VOC Nation. Adios.
The Voice of Choice here. Are you looking for a videographer for your event, maybe a wedding, party, company video? Well, listen, Metro Media Studios is focused on providing high-quality service and customer satisfaction, and they'll do everything they can to meet your needs. They got a variety of services to choose from. They'll make sure that you get the professionally produced video of your dreams. MetroMediaStudios.com. That's Metro with an A, MediaStudios.com. Check them out today.
It's not easy being in IT today. Data is growing exponentially, technology is changing at an accelerating pace, and the consequences of unplanned downtime are more serious than ever. StoragePipe helps eliminate these risks by automating all the data protection and disaster recovery for your laptops, servers, and virtual systems through a single provider. StoragePipe can help you free up more time, recover faster, and improve the reliability of your backup process. Visit StoragePipe.com.
Business owners, prepare to take charge. Get the latest trends in business and technology every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, presented by NetCarrier. Tweet your business questions in advance at NetCarrier using the hashtag TakeChargeTuesday. Or call live toll-free at 855-VOC-RADIO.
This is TNA Knockout, Madison Rain, and you're listening to the VOC Nation.
Live from the In the Room studios located in the NetCarrier and Cloud, this is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Slowly rolling my panties down for Crab Nation. Your hosts, Patrick Vial and Ryan Pfeiffer.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop D-O-double-G, but I somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky ass hits like every single day. May I kick a little something for the G and make a few ends as I breeze through.
And we're back live on a Thursday. A little bit of Snoop Dogg, Gin and Juice, the original from I think the first his first album, right? Maybe.
Yeah, that was. It was his first. I don't know. I don't know. Hey, do you think Snoop Lion has solar panels?
Maybe. I think he's probably environmentally conscious. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, he's like.
I think he's green.
On my fucking roof. Oh yes. Oh, he's definitely green.
Bitch ass redneck white bread chicken shit motherfucker. Fuck you. Your mama and everything connected to you, you racist piece of shit. Fuck you.
which white guy was that about?
That was about Donald Sterling.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I forget. I get confused.
Right. I know it's hard.
There's so many to pick from.
Speaking of white bread motherfucker assholes, there's so many to choose from here on Crab Nation every day. The fruit is so low hanging, especially on Fox. I'm trying to find the okay. So we were talking about the NFL with Tommy Gimler, who called before. After if you missed it, you can download this podcast. This is a podcast. After the show, you can go to Stitcher, you can go to podcast.vocnation.com, or you can go to crabdiving.com. For the easiest way to download the show afterwards and listen to it at your leisure.
Leisure.
At your leisure. I'm trying to find my story on my spreadsheet here. Okay. This is a
football story.
Well, he's talking about the NFL. And specifically, this was on his radio show on Tuesday. You know, Sean Hannity not only blesses the Fox airwaves, but he also has a radio show that he does. It's syndicated.
Oh, he's so fancy.
Ooh. So he was talking specifically this time about Adrian Peterson of the Vikings and the child abuse charges that have been leveled against Adrian Peterson. Again, if you haven't seen the pictures of what happened to that kid, and weren't the pictures taken like hours later? Like it wasn't right after it happened, even.
Yeah,
It was a little while after it happened. I mean, it's horrendous looking. You know what? It looks like a four-year-old that got beaten by a football player.
Bloody, because there was like there was dried crusted blood on a couple some of the wounds. And he says Adrian Peterson says what he the switch must have wrapped around bent around as he was hitting him, and that's how it hit him in the balls and shit.
Oh God.
So Sean Hannity, supreme poster child of white assholitude.
He's an innie.
Was talking about it. I've just got one clip here. You just got to hear what he says. Sean Hannity on his radio show.
I do believe Adrian Peterson went too far. I'll say it again. But my problem here is, do parents have the right to instill their values in their children? You guys want to tell parents what they can and cannot do. For example, is it going to become illegal if a parent teaches the politically correct view that being gay is not normal?
The politically correct view that being gay is not normal.
I'm actually confused by that. Now, it is the politically correct view. Wait, what is he saying? Being gay is not normal? That is not the politically correct view.
He's worried at how, he's not saying that Adrian Peterson didn't go too far, but...
Right.
He said his worry is, this is my problem with liberals, he says. Here's where my fears go. You guys want to tell parents what they can and cannot do. For example, will it be illegal if a parent teaches the politically correct view that being gay is not normal? Try to explain to me how that's the politically correct view.
God, how does he sit around and think about all this stuff all the time, Sean Hannity? There's a lot floating around in that big, gigantic ham head of his.
So beating the shit out of your kid, apparently, is something, you know, we should keep our nose out of that, maybe, because... Well, how far do we go? What if you want to teach your kids that being gay is wrong? How long before the liberals make that illegal?
Well, listen, I understand there's lots of kids that his parents are going to teach him that being gay is wrong. We just don't – we want the bare minimum. We don't want anyone to be hit.
Right. But he's using that slippery slope. He's saying that, you know, well, he says, my problem here is, do parents have a right to instill their values in their children?
Of course they do. And a lot of the times, it's a real shame that they have that right. But we just don't want them to hit them to the point that their legs are bleeding.
Well,
or
right.
Hit them at all.
And instilling your horrible beliefs on your kids is bad enough.
Sure.
But... I think we as a society can probably fucking agree, as civilized human beings, that bloody welts on a four-year-old, there's no transgression that would warrant that, you know, unless the kid killed somebody. And even then, it's a four-year-old. He didn't know he killed somebody.
Yeah, and by the way, even if you don't leave bruises, Reggie Bush, it's still wrong to hit your one-year-old daughter.
Right.
God.
Yeah, I don't. I don't get it. And trying to conflate teaching religious beliefs with abuse is ridiculous.
Right. It almost sounds like Hannity is pulling a Benghazi in a way. Like he's trying to. I don't know, to connect his homophobia with child abuse.
It's right-wing nut job jujitsu. It's Elizabeth Hasselbeck yesterday going full Benghazi right from the NFL.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Like that whole Fox deal, They got a whole show going on over on that channel. It's just, I kind of feel like they should replace all their news anchors with marionettes and just make it really entertaining.
They kind of do.
Yeah. Hey, inflatables.
You think Elizabeth Hasselbeck has a spontaneous thought in that head? It's whatever. You heard her during that ridiculous interview where she wasn't listening to what the guy was saying. All she was doing was repeating whatever was thrown in front of her or playing in her head.
Dude, she's worried about her lines. You worry about your lines. I'll worry about my lines, no matter what.
So we've got some good news, though, which also the good news will also lead us to our another clip that we have here on Crab Nation.
Did I?
Good news. No. But we talked about last week, I think it was, that, do you remember there was that Air Force guy that wanted to re-enlist? And then because of some rule changes, when you re-enlist, you sign that oath and you take that oath again. And for some reason, they changed the rules back to the point where in the Air Force, you couldn't opt out of the part that says, "So help me God."
Oh, okay.
So
great.
There was an Air Force, a guy who was in the Air Force, he wanted to re-enlist, and he said, well, I'm going to cross this part out because I'm an atheist. And the people there at the Air, you know, his command and everything said, well, you can't do that. If you don't sign it that way, if you don't say, so help me God, if you don't sign it, you can't re-enlist in the Air Force.
Right, because they want you to lay down your life for the country and for the sky god, too. It's got to be
right.
Both.
So the Air Force finally, this is yesterday, instructed force support offices across the service to allow both enlisted members and officers to omit the words, so help me God, from enlistment and officer appointment oaths, if the airman so chooses. I'm reading from the Air Force site itself, af.mil.
Oh, wow. Fancy.
We take any instance in which airmen report concerns regarding religious freedom seriously, Secretary of the Air Force Deborah Lee James said. We're making appropriate adjustments to ensure our airmen's rights are protected.
Oh, wow. Jeez. How did that even happen? With all the Tea Party people, nobody lost their mind over this?
Well, strap in. The strange thing is that in a lot of the comments that I saw across all different types of websites, from Commie Pinko Liberal over to the loonies on the right, a lot of them were either current or former members of the military in different branches that say, well, it's always been optional for us, which it has been. There's just been some weird fucking creepy rule change recently with the Air Force where they somehow fixed it so that you had to say that bullshit. Well, now it's being, Creech Air Force Base, Nevada. This Air Forceman crossed out the words, so help me God. And, wouldn't include it in his oath, and then they said we wouldn't process your paperwork. So now they're going to have to process his paperwork. And the clock was ticking for him, too, because he only had a certain amount of time to reenlist, I guess, without benefit loss. I don't know how it went. But he was getting fucked because he wouldn't say, so help me God.
Right. Well, listen, this is good for religious freedom, but bad for the environment. If you think of all the papers that have to be reprinted without that phrase.
Well, no, you can cross it out manually.
Oh, okay. Well, then this is totally good news then.
You can just take a Sharpie and just...
That's great.
But, of course, not everyone's happy. In fact, I guess there's been a direct line from the Lord. The big phone rang over in the studios at the 700 Club, and Pat apparently speaking with the Lord on his opinion. Pat, man, this is an incredible couple of clips. Pat is fired the fuck up about this. A little background. I think we've talked about this guy before on the show. Mickey Weinstein. He is the head of, and I don't know the name of the, I got to look this up, the name of his organization, Military Religious Freedom Foundation, the MRFF. But he's a guy that is really right now mainly focusing on keeping the Jesus from taking over the military. It's creepy as fuck. There have been instances where commanding officers are big lunatic Jesus freaks, and they have these Bible studies and shit, and if you decide to opt out of my Bible study, you can do that. You have that right. But you're going to be, we need the bathrooms cleaned with a toothbrush.
No, that's so nice. And by the way, there's no way Jesus would be able to fly a plane with those holes in his hand. How do you grab the joystick?
You get the blood all over the stick. It gets slippery. It's not good.
The throttle. I guess
so,
not the joystick. That's stupid.
So Pat has battled verbally against Mickey Weinstein in the past. The lunatic Christian right hates him because he fights for religious freedom in the military. I mean, think about how creepy it could be if some of these guys get really high up in the military. I mean, what's to keep the head of the Air Force from going rogue and saying, I've decided Obama's a Muslim, time for a coup?
Yeah. I mean, that's just got to be crazy, especially with all those old conservative people in general,
so,
in charge of everything.
So listen to Pat Robertson. Pat has gotten the news that the Air Force now I'm not going to say backtracking. I mean, they're doing the right thing in now saying, if you don't want to say that, so help me God, bullshit, you don't have to. Pat is out of his
right.
fucking mind. And listen to what
he
says. He
must be losing it.
listen to what he says about Mickey Weinstein. It's fucking awesome.
There's a left-wing radical named Mickey Weinstein who has got a group about people against religion or whatever he calls it, and he has just terrorized the armed forces. You think you're supposed to be tough, you're supposed to defend us, and you got one little Jewish radical who is scaring the pants off of you.
Oh, my God.
He's mad at the military. He's like, you guys are supposed to be defending us, and you're letting that little Jew scare you?
Yeah, he sounds ridiculous. One little Jewish radical.
Well,
I guess I forgot how anti-Semitic Pat Robertson could be.
You're right. Well, they did kill Christ. Remember, Kevin Sorbo
yes.
reminded us that last week.
Right. Oh, God. I forgot Kevin Sorbo was in the news.
Yeah, actor Kevin Sorbo. So,
right. Oh,
Pat,
boy, I hope you made air quotes when you said actor.
So Pat, losing his mind over Mickey Weinstein, and he can't believe that the military, the full might of the U.S. military, can't stand up to one little Jew. Here's more of Pat.
You want these guys flying the airplanes to defend us when you've got one little guy terrorizing them? That's what it amounts to. You know, we swear oaths, and they so help me God. Well, what does it mean? It means that with God's help, you don't have to say you believe in God. You just say, I want some help beside myself, but the oath I'm taking, it's just crazy. I mean, what is wrong with the Air Force? How can they fly the bombers to defend us if they cave to one little guy?
He's out of his mind.
I think we're frustrated with Pat Robertson because he's missing the point, and I think that's our folly.
You're
what
right.
Little guy. He's picturing, I understand what he's picturing. He's picturing like George from Seinfeld. You know, when he says one little Jew, he's picturing Woody Allen, you know?
Well,
what
I'm standing
asshole.
Up. And he's like, you want these guys flying to protect our country? He's accusing the Air Force of cowardice. You guys are a bunch of pussies, is what he's saying. You can't stand
right.
up to that little Jew and right. tell him to fuck off. We're going to say under God. And then you'll notice he tries to justify I've got the printout. He says that you want these guys flying airplanes to defend us. When you've got one little guy terrorizing them, that's what it amounts to. We swear oaths. So help me God. What does it mean? And that's where he's like, it means with God's help, you don't have to say you believe in God.
You know, it's insane. I mean, some guy, he happens to be an atheist, and he wants to defend the country, fly planes for the Air Force, but we have to make him say, so help me God. That to me is just insane.
If you want to put on a virtual rubber suit and go over to the Blaze so you don't infect yourself with the craziness there, I read the story on the Blaze.
Are you saying when you go on the Blaze, you have to dress the same way you would in an Ebola camp?
Right, so you don't get any of the crazy on you. And
yeah, it's worse.
The comments there are terrifying. Terrifying. People,
yeah.
First of all, this Mickey Weinstein, I can't imagine the death threats he gets from, you know, these wonderful
yeah.
Christians. And they hate him. And then this atheist that wanted to fly the plane, they're saying, well, he's got no right being in the military anyway.
You know, and if you think about it, you could, I'm sure, I'm not a lawyer, but I bet you could sue to have that statement just taken out. This atheist guy is just saying, I don't want to say it. If you want to say it, that's totally fine. You can have your right to believe or practice your faith. I'm just saying I don't want to.
Right, but by you being able to opt out of it, you're shitting on Christianity. You hate God.
Sure. Don't you learn when you're a little kid in school, the first thing you learn is don't touch your neighbor.
It's Christian persecution. You're persecuting us because you won't make everybody say God.
Yeah, stay out of my business. Stay out of my lunchbox.
He says, you don't have to say you believe in God. You just have to say you want some help beside myself with the oath I'm taking. Well, if you're an atheist, you don't believe in any kind of help, supernatural help. That's the definition. You don't believe in any supernatural help.
You're kind of buying into the help that the engineers have put into the plane, and that the plane's been inspected by all the people, the mechanics that work on it. You hope that it stays in the air, and you hope that, I don't know, your plane's better than the enemy's plane. I don't know what that has to do with. I mean, this guy's just like, that doesn't have anything to do with some weird ethereal being floating around in the clouds. Sorry.
Pat says, it's just crazy. What's wrong with the Air Force? How can they fly the bombers to defend us if they cave to one little guy?
Well, Pat, it's a good thing they do, so you can sit there at the 700 Club and, I don't know, pander to your sheep.
Right, and he doesn't get the whole point of the tyranny of the majority. That's what the ninnies like him left fucking England for in the first place, is because they were the minority. They were getting shit on. Nobody wanted to put up with their bullshit, it seems like. And
right.
So they came here to set up their horrible little Puritanica. And you know, it's so hypocritical.
Right. And by the way, Pat preaches at a church. Now, I'm sure the 700 Club is not tax exempt. It's a whole thing. But, you know, I'm sure he's preached at churches before that don't pay any taxes, and none of their tax dollars goes to the military. So what business does he have saying what? Who cares about his opinion is my point.
Oh, it drives him crazy. I mean, Pat, I've read stuff that Pat goes after Mickey Weinstein all the time, and it's usually individual cases where, you know, a soldier is being forced, like that example I said. That was kind of I don't think that was the exact circumstances. It was kind of like that, where a guy's lieutenant was like, you know, we do Bible study. Our platoon does Bible study every Thursday at 4 p.m. or whatever. And he's like, well, you know, I'll pass. And they're like, oh, well, okay, well, the barracks need cleaning then at that time.
Right. All right, you guys go do Bible study. Maybe I'll study my plane.
Yeah, you can opt out, but that means you're going to be scrubbing the latrines. I mean, what the fuck is wrong with this scene? Terrifying.
I like Pat getting upset, though. That's pretty funny. He's pretty funny. Yeah. He gets heated.
Yeah,
he gets so high-pitched.
Yeah, I want to hear the second one again. He's crazy.
You want guys flying the airplanes to defend us when you got one little guy terrorizing them? That's what it amounts to. You know, we swear oaths, and then so help me God. Well, what does it mean? It means that with God's help, you don't have to say you believe in God. You just say, I want some help beside myself, but the oath I'm taking. It's just crazy. I mean, what is wrong with the Air Force? How can they fly the bombers to defend us if they cave to one little guy?
What's wrong with them?
There's nothing better than him. He starts out, he's going to define what so help me God means, and he sort of loses his way somewhere because, I don't know, on some level maybe it doesn't make any sense.
He can't defend it. That's why, you're right. He can't defend it. He's trying to explain, well, what's the big deal? If you don't believe in God, just say it. It doesn't mean that. It means, you know, something else. Like, you're looking for something else somewhere.
Oh, my God. Hey, by the way, this is totally off subject. Does the Prime Directive in Star Trek, does that include a reference to a higher being?
No. No, I think they're pretty secular in Star Trek. They had some spiritual ones going on. Like, even Spock had a whole spiritual thing going on. But which is kind of interesting, a completely logic-based being. What's that great line from House where he says, You can't reason with extremely religious. If they had reason, they wouldn't be extremely religious.
That's amazing. That's a show on Fox, too.
Yeah. They got away with that. Money. Money, money, money. Do you remember we're talking about we talked about those God Loves the Gays billboard.
Right.
Do you remember that? There's a character, I guess it's a comedian, that has a Facebook identity and a Twitter handle, God, basically. And it puts out funny shit, really, really funny shit, making fun of asshole, hypocritical Bible thumpers.
Yes.
And, he put up, he did a Kickstarter and Indiegogo, raised a bunch of money and was able to put up a giant billboard in Kansas right near the Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka. It says, God loves gays. There's a rainbow, and there's a picture of his God cartoon character face peeking out of the clouds. So that one's
It looks
up.
Like South Park. The cartoon,
right,
by the way. That billboard looks like the...
Yeah, it looks
like
South Park.
It's funny.
The well, now they're saying that he has tried. They've raised over $100,000 now to put more of these up.
Wow.
And he can't find any company that owns the billboards in Utah that will do it.
That doesn't surprise me at all. Because, you know, Clear Channel owns tons of those billboards, and that's a conservative company.
Right. He said there's – well, listen to the name. Reagan Outdoor Advertising is one of them.
Oh, good God.
And Yesco, another one. Both representatives from both companies said the topic matter was too controversial, said they don't want to offend their clients, and they don't want to offend the people whose land their billboards are on. They don't want to offend the landlords and have the landlords kick them off their property.
They don't want $100,000?
Well, they don't. They rent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The billboard space, the billboard company rents space on their land for the billboard.
Oh, that's so right. That's right.
They don't want to. They don't want to get them pissed off.
No.
And so now they're working with a broker who's trying to find places for the signs. But he said all the good real estate has already been taken up by these two big asshole companies.
They're just going to have to find somebody's house or a barn to paint it on the side of.
So, I mean, there's Murica for you. And
right.
It just shows you the how we don't have free media. When there's one or two companies that own everything, and then they're owned by big, giant, evil megalo corporations that own them, you know, we're not getting the real story. That's why they got to keep the internet free.
Yeah, and it's interesting too because most people, a lot of people like this "God Loves the Gays" billboard thing. I'm on their page right now. They have 188,000 likes on Facebook. So somebody's behind their cause. I really wonder if the billboards would offend a lot of people.
It's like a tourist destination now. People are going to get their picture taken under the damn "God Loves Gays" billboard in Topeka.
That blows my mind.
It's like the devil, like the devil that they're trying to get back. The devil statue in Vancouver. Go to facebook.com/crabdiving to see the picture of the story we talked about yesterday. That somebody put up a rogue statue in Vancouver of a naked Satan.
You know, yeah, it's funny. You know, in Florida, there's a stretch of highway. I forget where it is. Somewhere in Central Florida, you start driving, and all of a sudden, I swear it's every 2 miles, there is an anti-abortion billboard, and they never end. Everyone is like, life is precious, life begins at conception, and then they, you know, some of them have pictures of these, you know, dead fetuses, and it's horrible.
Remember in Venice, here in at the beach, in Venice Beach, that sometimes during the busiest weekends, they would fly a fucking plane, a little prop plane, dragging one of those big signs afterwards. Remember? And it was all pictures of, like, chopped up fetuses and stuff like that. Horrific, horrific.
Yeah.
Ruining people's beach experience.
Right. Yeah. By the way, women just want to go to Planned Parenthood, okay? They just want health care. Sorry. I know it's a big pain in the ass for a lot of you conservative people, but that's what they want. I think. I'm not a genius, but...
Well, and, you know, don't get an abortion if you don't want one.
You don't have to.
Don't gay marry.
Right. A lot of things that the right-wing America that you're offended by, you don't have to deal with. It's your choice. Just turn off the television. Turn off Crab Nation. You're free to do that.
But turn us on again tomorrow, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific, 3 to 5 p.m. on the Eastern Type Coast. We're in the last minute here of Crab Nation on a Thursday. We appreciate you guys listening to us. Thanks to Tommy Gimler for calling in.
Yeah. From the Daily Upper Decker.
The DailyUpperDecker.com, a great sports blog. Thanks to him, and then check them out. We'll tweet out about all that shit. Follow us on the Twitter at Crab Diving. Don't forget Facebook.com/Crab Diving. Ryan Pfeiffer might be doing some more comedy in the Pensacola area. Check out where he may be on at Rated R Comedy.
Follows very funny Patrick Vile on Twitter at Vile Experience. Oh, so Vile.
And everything and anything about us, including past episodes of the show and everything, can be found at crabdiving.com. Thanks, everybody. Back tomorrow, noon to 2 Pacific. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
This has been Crab Nation. Did you get your itch scratched? If you want more of the crab, download the Crab Diving podcast on iTunes or crabdiving.com. Catch the crabs on Twitter at Crab Diving and on Facebook at facebook.com/crabdiving. Thanks for listening.